AC must have been fixed in the fixed program.
There it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Obo.
Perfect timing.
Well, praise the Lord, and shame on the devil. All right, well, today we'll be in Isaiah chapter 53. And what a great, great chapter that is. And if you can believe it, we're only going to do one verse. But it is so appropriate for what is going on today in our country. It's so appropriate for what's going on in our own life. I thought the nuggets would be worth your while to perceive what goes on here in Scripture. What goes on in the time of Isaiah? America is following the same identical path as the book of Isaiah. Right down to a T. You can't miss it. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and read the one verse together. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Amen and amen. Doug, if you wouldn't mind opening this up for a word of prayer, and let's have some fun in God's word.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we're having. Pray, Lord God, for John to show us some nuggets here in the Word of God. God, this is the chapter where the Jewish people, like but a veil, were right on top of it there. They don't like this chapter at all. But, it's a chapter that talks about his death and whatnot.
Amen and amen. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? What a book, guys. Just so you know, at whatever point that we do outlines in Scripture, it is there for part of our benefit to keep on track of what's going to be spoken, and it's also for your benefit to follow along. There are many times in my past where I've heard the Word of God preached, and the person preaching had no outline, no direction, and when you were done listening, you wondered what was said. And that's happened on more than one occasion. I can remember quite a few, but I can't even remember seeing their faces as they were teaching and preaching. It was just scattered. Most of the Sunday schools that I've been part of or have visited across the country are done in the same manner, believe it or not. And I've been so disappointed, especially visiting another church and going to their Sunday school and finding out there was just nothing there. And
the problem you have is you have five different preachers preach five different outlines, and then you have confusion there.
Exactly, yeah.
You know.
But the whole purpose of the outline is you can do any outline you want. When you study it, there's so many different ways to take a chapter or to take a verse and to give it an outline. You can take different parts of the verse, a lot of the verse. There's so many different ways to look at a verse or verses, and to pull them together or to pull them apart. But this chapter here of Isaiah 53, I would call it the humiliation and victory of the Messiah. It goes through the humility of what Christ went through while he was here on the planet. But the victory is because of the humiliation he went through, he gained the victory for us at the cross. He died for our sins. And so what looked like to the world was humility, for us it was victory. All my sins Guys, all my sins, past, present, future, are on that cross. They have been paid for it. All right? So don't try digging them up. I could be reproved, and that's the correct word, because I need to be reproved when I'm going in the wrong direction or doing the wrong things. But let's have some fun with the book here. First thing that I was meditating on this is Isaiah chapter 53 here, as written by Isaiah, is the biography of Christ's life. You go with verse 1 and go all the way down through to, I think, verse 11, and you've got the biography of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. However, if you'll consider the fact that the other writer is the Holy Spirit, then what we have here is an autobiography. All right? The Lord himself is telling you what's going to happen. And there are so many numerous scripture verses all the way through Isaiah. Pastor Miller got one the other week when he said his face was more marred than any man. You'll find another verse where his back was just cut to ribbons and it just popped right into the middle of a verse somewhere. There's just a ton of verses through scripture that's pointed out.
I did not my face from the shame of the spirit.
Yeah. Or the other one about plucking out the hairs on his face. They're so numerous. This book, the Holy Bible, is written by the Holy Spirit. And he's written it through men to give us a picture and to give us hope and to give us help during these times. The phrase here, who hath believed our report and to whom is the arm revealed? Let's take a look at Isaiah's calling in chapter 6. Let's take a look at his calling. Because Isaiah's calling, chapter 6.
Isaiah 6.
Yeah. And I'll start with verse 5, then we go down to 11 or 12. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. When we have a heart that's cleansed from sin and the Lord speaks, that is the best time for obedience right there. Here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. The Lord is telling them here he's going to be teaching and preaching to a group of people that's in rebellion. They do not want to hear the word of God. We're going to find this phrase a couple of more times in Scripture, I believe in the book of John at the end of Acts. And it's the same thing true with our life. Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed? And this is herein where the problem lies, a heart that's in rebellion from the Lord. Then said I, how long, Lord? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabited. At the time of his calling, I'm sure he doesn't know at this point, but it's revealed later on in the book of Isaiah here. He's going to bring in the Babylonians, and they're going to come in, or they're going to bring judgment. And every city is going to be wasted. Jerusalem is going to be leveled. It's going to be totally wiped out. How long do you want me to preach? Until there's nobody left to preach to. How about for us guys? How long should you and I teach and preach the Word of God? Until our last breath.
Amen.
Until there's no one left. And I've heard quite a few stories of people that were on their deathbed in the hospitals who got a chance to witness before they went up. All right? I've heard of someone witnessing in the in an ambulance while they were dying, trying to preach the gospel. God, until your last breath, guys, how long? Don't ever stop. Because the moment you stop, you're going to start backsliding, according to Psalm 1, and then you're going to go in reverse. And then your whole life is going to be in shambles. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, which happened, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. Again, that happened in around 586 B.C. And the Lord hath removed men far away. Now where? Babylon. And there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. That is Isaiah's calling. So when we get to chapter 53, this poor guy has been abused. He's been abused. Lord, who hath believed our report? Notice the word "our" in this case. Who hath believed our report? Now, if I'm writing it, I'll write, who hath believed my report? He's one with the Lord. Who hath believed our report? He is one with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's one with them all the time. He's saying it's not only the Lord's report, but I'm in on it too. Who hath believed our report? And that's the way we should live. You know, the gospel, guys, that we got saved by, that is our gospel. And when you look at the Lord, that's my gospel in Him. That's mine. And in Christianity, you need to be possessive. And if you're not possessive, you're going to go off in the wrong direction. When you read through the whole book of Psalms, which is the meditations of David on the Word of God, look how many times he says, my God, my shield, my buckler, my high tower. David was very possessive of the Lord. And the couple of times that you see a backslide is when he quit praying and quit going in the direction of the Lord. One was in Ziklag, and the other had to deal with Bathsheba. He quit praying and quit going after the Lord. And he became proud and had a hard heart. And all the way through, when you study the scripture, how do you get the hard heart? You get it by saying no to the Lord, by rejecting Him. And of course, when who hath believed our report? The word believed. So I was just doing the word believe means to accept as truth. And to accept it to a point where it's changing you, that truth. The word believe is in the Word of God quite a few times. The one book that has the word believe and the word variations of the word believe, the book that has the most words in it is the book of John. I thought that was fascinating. The word believe in the book of John is 51 times. The word believing, 2 times. The word believed, 26 times. Believers, 3 times. And believeth, 15 times. So the word believe in its variations is found in the book of John 97 times. Fascinating. The second book that has the most words for believe is the book of Acts. And I ended up coming up with 47 times of the different variations. Who hath believed our report? Let's take a look at Book of John chapter 12. Book of John chapter 12. And we'll start with go with verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. He did all these miracles in their midst, and yet they did not believe on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? See the connection here? The Lord Jesus Christ, if you go in chapter 13, it says, now before the feast of Passover. So these words are written towards the end of his 3.5-year ministry. 3.5 years, he's given a miracle after miracle after miracle. He's preached the word of God to them. And I've got it underlined, and I think it might be the book of Luke. He took the gospel to every single city and village of Israel. There's no one in Israel in that 3.5 years that could not say the gospel was not preached in their town. 3.5 years. And you know, on the day of Pentecost, there's only 120 out of all the thousands and thousands that heard the word of God. Only 120 shows up. Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. How about that? We see Isaiah's calling here, and at the same time we see Isaiah 53. Look at the connection. During Isaiah's time, they did not hear the word of God, and so at the end of the time frame, here comes the Babylonian army to come in and wipe them out. We take a look here during the time of Christ. He spent 3.5 years serving miracles with them and telling them the word of God. He's at the end of his ministry. And again, what happens with Israel? 40 years later, here comes Rome, mystery Babylon. Here comes Rome, and they come in 70 AD, and Israel gets wiped out again. The parallel between the two was totally incredible. Let's take a look at Acts 25. No, 28. Acts 28. Starting in verse 25. In Acts 28, verse 25, the Apostle Paul is down towards the end of his ministry. He's been preaching the Word of God for close to 30 to 40 years. And in verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Again, you see the calling of Isaiah again, and you see it showing up here at the end of Paul's life. Hard heart, hard heart, rejecting the word of God. It just fascinates me how all of it is sewn together. And here's something else that's fascinating. Let's go ahead and take a look at the hard heart from another viewpoint. Isaiah chapter 1. Trying to keep in the context of the book of Isaiah. Let's go to chapter 1. verse 9 and 10. Again, look what he is writing. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like the Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. And then it goes out. Notice the comparison with Israel being compared with Sodom and Gomorrah. It's fascinating. Let's see what Jeremiah's comment. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 14. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 14. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hand of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. It just fascinates me. Here's Isaiah. He's telling what the hard hearts are, and he's telling where the hard hearts are coming from. The sin of Sodom and Gomorrah is prevailing throughout all of Israel. And that's one of the reasons they do not want to hear the word of God. We're in the same time frame. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Again, Isaiah is quoted twice here. Let's take a look at verse... Twenty-nine, and as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we'd been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. Again, he's making a reference to way back to Isaiah, but Paul is writing it for the time frame that he's in now. The children of Israel, the big fights that Christ had with all these leaders, everything, they were again into adultery. Again, they was into Sodom and Gomorrah. Same group that fought him. Look how hard they fought him. Look how hard they fought Isaiah. Who hath believed our report? All right? And what happens? As before, here's Isaiah. Here comes the Babylonians. Here's the time of Christ. Here comes Rome. And guys, now let's bring it up to where we're going to be at here today.
Amen.
I mean... Guys, in the last 20, 25 years, in my family, we've talked about things that we've never talked about before. I mean, subjects I don't want to talk about.
Amen.
It just blows me away. Let's take a look at Revelation 11:8. This talks about the two witnesses that's going to show up. And the two witnesses, of course, is going to be Moses, and it's going to be Elijah. Those are the two witnesses. And compare scripture with scripture, you shouldn't have any problem with that at all. And they're dead bodies. And what happens with Moses and Elijah? They get beheaded. And keep in mind, Elijah... when he was at Mount Sinai, he was praying for death. He was under a juniper tree, praying for death. He did not think he was going to die in chapter 11 here. He had no clue. Be careful what you pray for. All right? And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. How about that? Jerusalem. And guys, you already know, as far as in Jerusalem was going on today, look at Hamas, look at Hezbollah, all those groups, they're all from Sodom. Every one of them. They make you think that they're holy and pure, but they're not. They're not. Same thing with the Rome. Rome is not pure. And it is filled with the Sodomites. And if we don't need to go there, we really don't need to discuss what's going on. What we need to do is keep looking in the mirror and say, Lord, forgive me for what I did. But those are the groups. And when you study what's going on, and here in America, thanks to Barack Obama, you know, the Supreme Court, the Sodomites are just filling the land here. I'm showing you a pattern. Who hath believed our report? There's a resistance with the gospel. When we was in Kentucky last week, we actually went to a half-price bookstore, and I passed out some tracts. I did. And the one guy I passed out a tract to happened to have one of them things in the ear. Okay? So he had to tell me a dirty story about Einstein.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to repeat it either.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But it dealt with the quantum physics and how we came across it. So I just nodded my head and moved on. Okay? I gave him the Einstein track. So he knew who I was and what I was. And guys, that group, I don't care what they say in the news media about diversity, exclusion, or whatever it's called.
Inclusion.
Okay? But I try to be nice and kind to these guys. And the moment they know I'm a Christian, I'm dead meat. They attack me and tear me to shreds. I'm sorry, but whatever the news media is telling you about it is the exact opposite of what's happening here. But there you have Jerusalem being called Sodom by the Lord. And what's going to happen with the Jerusalem after they kill off those guys? He's bringing in the Antichrist. The mystery Babylon comes in and wipes out Israel. They're going to have to go across the River Jordan and go to, I think, Petra or someplace like that to hide from the Antichrist. But they're going to be chased out of the land a second time. Totally wiped out. They're going to have to flee for their lives. Same group. And it's no wonder, because when you take a look at Mystery Babylon, that's the same place where the Tower of Babel was built. And we call the Tower of Babel today, we call it United Nations. We call it the United Nations. Lord, who hath believed our report? Yes, Johnny.
So a moment ago you were talking about what will happen in Revelation, right?
Yeah.
So wouldn't that be the third time they'll be kicked out of the land? Isn't it the first time was when Babylon took them?
Right.
Second time was
right.
When... 70 AD.
You're right. Three times.
Yeah. So this will be coming up will be the third time.
Yeah. You're
third time's a charm.
Yeah. Third time. Yeah. That is correct. That is correct.
In this case, third time will be the last.
Here at BBF, we always give you current events, and I think it is fantastic because I look forward to it. But guys, we'll just give you Isaiah chapter 1. And Romans chapter 1. You read those two chapters and you'll be up with current events, what's going on here. When you read Isaiah chapter 1, the foreigners were coming in and buying their land. And then changing their customs and changing everything. Guys, we've got China that has billions of acres now. We've got a wide open border that millions and millions of immigrants are coming in. The land is being overtaken just like Isaiah chapter 1. When you study Israel's downfall, study what the foreigners, whenever the foreigners come in, if they don't convert, then they destroy the land, they destroy everything, they destroy the holidays, they destroy the worship. It's just the way they are. And America used to keep up with it. I've got a book from 1943 on preaching. And at that point, they were keeping up with the immigrants coming in. But guys, ever since probably about the 1980s, we have not been able to keep up. It just, we're being overwhelmed. But the whole purpose of Isaiah 53:1, do not be discouraged. In your little world that you're living in, do the best you can to help people out to come to know Christ as personal Savior. One of my favorite testimonies, down in Kentucky, we was at coming home on exit on 71 headed north. Johnny was driving, and he wanted to try out some cotton candy at Burger King, you know, a new drink. So we stopped off there, and so I handed Johnny the Star Wars gospel tract and said, pass this out. So the first guy that came to, they got two windows, the guy that collects the money and then the other window. So Johnny hands the guy the Star Wars gospel tract, and he looks at it and goes, what's this? So Johnny says, you know, it's a gospel tract. There's the good news with you. And the guy looked at us and he says, well, he says, I'm religious, he says, but I don't go to church anymore. He says, they kicked me out. And you could tell this guy was sad. He was depressed. And so I'm sitting in the back seat and I yell out to him. I said, well, it's okay. I said, I've been kicked out four times. And so he had to peer around the corner to look at me, and he asked for my name, so I gave him my name. And he said, thank you. You just made my day. And just so you know, the four times being kicked out, the first time the pastor did not want to pastor the church anymore, he was kicking all the members out because he wanted to take the funds for building and become a traveling evangelist. Okay, so he was praying for them to leave. Okay, the second place, they put me in charge of the bus ministry, and because they wanted me to sink it, to do a bad job so they could get rid of the bus ministry. And I found out from someone on the staff, they did not want black people to come to the church. Sorry, I won about 300 of them to the Lord. And that was just 2 months. Okay, it was just breaking the system. The other part that happened is they didn't want us to go after poor people. We were told when you go into the neighborhood, look for someone that has toys in the yard, two or three kids, and making $45,000 a year. Now, that didn't sound much like you, but I was making $10,000 a year. Okay? They wouldn't me go after rich people. I said, guys, that's not the gospel. So they had spies around me and the whole works. That just didn't work out. The third church we went to, the guy could preach the word of God great from the pulpit. But when he got down from the pulpit, he denied everything. And one of his sermons, he made me the main character.
Oh, really?
Out of the Book of Amos, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, I didn't even do anything.
Tell us the story.
But at any rate, though, Jill got fed up with it, said, I'm not going back. So we left there. The other place was, the other place, we were there for 24 years. And they had 8 accusations against Jill. Not me, fortunately. But they were all phony, trumped up charges. And on Christmas Eve service, when we were up in the choir singing, Oh Jesus, How We Love You. Right after the service, the pastor came up and said, one of us has to leave, but it won't be us. And we said, well, what's going on? He started telling us about the rumors. I said, well, the rumors are false. He said, no, I've got witnesses. He says, are you trying to tell me my witnesses are liars? And we said, yes. Yes, they were. And so at any rate, though, we end up having to break ties there. The church had left the King James, was going to the ESV. The church has also gone into Calvinism, and we just weren't going to fit the program. So just so you know, those are the four times. I have a clear conscience, guys. When you see in heaven, I see these people, they'll know that I've got a clear conscience. I did my best to take the gospel to every place we've been at. I've done my best to give the gospel to people.
Amen.
And I've seen the fruit from that gospel.
Amen.
I have seen the fruit, and it was fun. Lord, who hath believed our report? And just so you know, all four churches were King James. Two of them today are gone, totally gone. The other two are no longer independent King James churches. They're now Southern Baptist churches. And one of them is totally ESV, and the other one is wishy-washy. You know, if you're in the pew and you've got the ESV, oh, it's okay if you want to read that. Here, we use the King James. But if you like the ESV, it's okay. Sorry, guys. I'm not going to tell you the ESV is a good book. I'm going to tell you right now, they're all bad. Unless you have, in the English language, the Authorized King James, the rest are phony books. And those phony books will bring the downfall of a family. It'll bring the downfall of an individual. Those phony books will bring down a church. And don't mess with them. Compare scripture with scripture. When I left that last church, I sent them 226 verses to compare with the ESV and the King James. And I sent it to everyone on staff. Today, I still haven't heard a peep. I love them in the Lord, but I tried to share with them the truth. And it just fell on bad ears. Notice in the verse, who hath believed our report? The word report, again, it can mean current events, what's going on. The word report can mean announcement. It can mean an evaluation. That's where you get a report card. It's an evaluation. A report is also tidings, and it can be also prophecies. So, who hath believed our report? Real quick for you. Zechariah and Mary in Luke chapter 1 got an announcement from the angel. Joseph, he got an announcement in Matthew chapter 1. John the Baptist was the one that gave the announcement for Christ showing up in John chapter 1. Behold, the Lamb of God was taking away the sin of the world. The angels in Luke chapter 2 gave tidings. We bring you tidings of great joy. Who hath believed our report? Well, notice that every one of these examples, the people that the announcements were made to believed the report. They believed. But in the time of Israel, whether you're talking Isaiah's time, you're talking the time of Christ or the time of Paul, had a hard heart, and they rejected that good report. As far as prophecies, the book of Isaiah can be broken up into three categories. Isaiah chapter 1 to 37 deals with Christ being the king. And Isaiah 38 to 55, we find him as the servant. And then in chapters 56 to 66, I call it the victor. Victory over sin for us. Victory over sin for Israel. Amen and amen. If you'll notice too, let's take a look at Luke 24:44. Luke 24:44. Christ is talking to his disciples, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. I have a Hebrew Bible, and the Hebrew Bible is divided up exactly how it is right here. The Law of Moses, those are the first five books. And then it says here, in the prophets. So all the books that has a prophet name, they're all lined up right after that. And then then you have the Psalms. Now what they consider Psalms back then, I think they threw in Job, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, and Song of Solomon. Those were known as the Psalms. So you've got three divisions there. Isaiah can be broken up into three divisions. Lord, who hath believed our report? And the last of all, the arm of the Lord. Let's take a look at Isaiah 52:10. We covered that, and we'll end up closing here. 52:10. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. The arm of the Lord, the salvation. And notice in here, he says, all the nations. Here in America, we have Christmas. There's almost nobody in America that doesn't know what Christmas is about. But who hath believed our report? It is fun to have the tree. It's fun to have the gifts, the presents. It's fun to have the music and, you know, the cakes and the candies and stuff. Well, what about Christ?
Amen.
Who hath believed our report? And who hath the arm of the Lord been revealed to? The arm of the Lord is revealed when you and I give out the gospel of Christ. When we give out our testimony. When we witness to people. That's the time. And Isaiah said there's a certain time that God will save people. And you and I don't know what that time is. But we need to be as much as possible present trying to share the gospel of Christ. As we studied the book of Isaiah, there's a phrase, but his hand is stretched out still. That's mentioned five times. And we have five fingers. His hand is stretched out. The mercy is still there. His hand is stretched out still. And of course, Jesus is known as the right hand. The right hand. Now, I'll let you go with one last testimony from our time down in Kentucky. We went to Tumbleweed, and the waitress there, I gave her the depression track, how to overcome depression. And she was very grateful to get that. And I told her, I said, you know, I did this just before COVID came out. So we started talking about the shots, and I said, I didn't take the shots. She said, I didn't take it either. And so she gave me the old handshake there. Well, when we were leaving, I wanted to make sure that she had the signed piece of paper with her pen back. And I caught her just as she was coming out of the kitchen. And I said, you know, I do other tracks too. I said, I do one on Star Wars. She said, you do? She said, can I have it? Do you have it with you? Because I know someone in the kitchen that'd love to read it. So, I don't know if the girl is saved or not, but she hadn't even read the other one yet. But she went in and gave him Star Wars. You know, that is some of the fun that I have. That is some of the fun. Well, let's go ahead and close. I hope you understand a little bit of what we're going through. Who hath believed our report? Stay faithful to the Lord. And Darren, could you close us out in a word of prayer?
Dear Lord, we just thank you for this study today. This word in Isaiah is our perfect word in our King James Bible. We pray that you would bless the rest of this day and the next service. We're about to enter in here in a little bit. And, just thank you for so much, everything. For thank you so much for everything. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, guys, go get your tea.